Hey guys.
Thanks, man. Let's just pray real quick. Oh, wow, iPod. Man, Jesus. You guys know it's okay to be excited about Jesus. It's okay. Like, let me just give you the freedom to just celebrate him. You know, he's awesome. So, Father, we just thank you that because of the blood of Jesus, we have access to you. Jesus, it's one thing to say that in theory, Father, but I pray in the name of Jesus that by the power of the Holy Spirit that we would have a revelation of the knowledge of the fact that the veil has been torn, that we have access to what was an unapproachable God. That, Father, because of our sin, because of our rebellion against you, that we were separated from you. And Father, you had every right to pour out your wrath on us, Father, but in your great mercy, you sent the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you willingly came. You willingly laid down your life for us because you wanted us, Jesus. You wanted us. And so we thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus. We thank you that through your blood, we have access to the Father. And so, Father, I just pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word, God, that I pray that as I speak about what it means to live on mission every day, that they would just hear the voice within my voice, that they'd hear Jesus speaking to them, that I would fade away and they would just see Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys can say amen. Okay, awesome. Last night, actually, this thing is... It's all good. My wife was here, but my son, he was like, "This is really boring, Dad." I'm like, "Seriously?" Like, he's gone. I'm sorry, but my wife was here. Her name's Tara. Anybody know Tara McNew? Or she's Hall now. She's mine now, but she's awesome. I don't know if I should introduce myself, but I'm Jordan, and I'm an intern at First Baptist 2 days a week, and I'm just hungry to see people come to Jesus. And that's pretty much, I mean, other than surfing and my wife and my kids, I want us to know what it means to pursue Jesus and for us to bring our friends alongside us as we pursue him, you know? And so while I was praying last night with my buddy Troy, I just really felt like, you know, three things that there's just, and I just want to take a moment to say this, that I don't know who it is, but somebody's just... if you guys are feeling like a sense of abandonment, like maybe it's your parents, you just, and especially with, if it's your parents, like they're not, you're not in a relationship with them where you want to be. Like maybe they're just backing away from you and you just feel abandoned. You feel isolated and rejected by your parents. I just want you to know that Jesus, is near the brokenhearted, that the Father is the Father to the fatherless. And it doesn't matter what you guys are going through. It doesn't matter, how broken your relationship with your parents is, the Father wants to draw close to you and he wants to comfort you. And the second thing is for anybody, and I just feel like, you know, who has had a good summer? That's awesome. You know, like summertime, I know how it was in high school. It can be really good or it can be really bad. Just the fact that you're on vacation just kind of lets you take a back seat, you know, which can be good in the sense of you can just really, you know, go to summer camp or go on mission trips. Who went to Guatemala? Awesome. Right on. But at the same time, like for me, like summer can be the time when I stray, when I start, and you don't even mean to, but we're living in a world that's against Christ. We have an enemy named Satan who's against Christ and he's going to do everything. And we have the flesh that we're wrestling against and it's pulling us away from him all the time. So if you're not pursuing Jesus, you are pursuing something else. Does that make sense? And so sometimes summer looks like drinking and getting drunk and having sex with girls or guys. And all of a sudden now you're like, man, what just happened these past 2 months? You know, here I am smoking pot. And I never would have thought that I was that person. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that's your place where you're at. But let me tell you, if you are not pursuing Jesus Christ, you are going to pursue something else. Does that make sense? You were made to pursue. God made you to pursue him. And you will find something that satisfies you. But let me tell you, I've been there. I've been addicted to pornography. I've been broken. I've dealt with horrible things that I've done to people that have been done against me. I've gone down that road of alcohol. I've gone down the road of doing things with girls that I shouldn't be doing. But let me tell you, there is nothing that compares to knowing Jesus Christ. There is nothing that compares to knowing him. And so I just want you to know that. We'll jump right in. Father, I just pray that that's anybody in here, that if we've slipped back into the culture, if we've slipped back into the world, Father, that you would set us free tonight in Jesus' name, that those who feel abandoned by their parents, Father, I pray for restoration in that family. But Father, I also pray that you would draw near to them. That's your promise, that you draw near to those who are brokenhearted, that you're near the fatherless. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. All right. So I don't have much time, and I love to talk. So if you could open your Bibles to Matthew chapter, that's totally not right. Yeah, 4. If you guys got your Bibles. Matthew chapter 4. I'm just going to lay out, there's going to be two sections to this, but Rob had me speak on what it means to live on mission here in America. Because a lot of times we think, okay, you know, when I go to Guatemala, I'm a missionary. But and I have done this so many times, where you forget that, like, what does it mean to, what is the mission of the church? What is our mission? Anybody? Huh? Make disciples. So make disciples. So, does that just happen in Guatemala? It happens everywhere we go. And so, what I want to just bring tonight is just how, you know, on a practical level, how to begin to engage with people with the gospel, how to make disciples. But before that, I want to lay down some foundational truths. You can put that first main point. Foundational truths for lifelong mission. So before we get into the practical stuff, I just want you guys to understand some principles that will kind of guide you through just lifelong pursuit of Jesus and pursuit of mission. So Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19, and Jesus, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So the first point I want to make, and you can just bring up that first point. Our vision is to know him and make him known. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So what is our call in that? Our call is to follow Jesus, and when we follow Jesus, he will make us into something, right? He makes us into fishers of men. So I think I said this before, but you know, you can get burnt out by being passionate about missions. You can just be all about the unengaged, unreached people groups, or just the people that are in your life that don't know Jesus. But you can get burnt out if you're not first and foremost pursuing Jesus, because knowing Christ, that leads to an overflow. As you encounter him, as you meditate on his goodness, as you spend time in his word, spend time in his presence, spend time in worship in your car, or at home, The life of Jesus begins to overflow through you. Does that make sense? Two of you guys. That's awesome. Mark 3:14. You can go there. And I just want to show you this theme throughout the New Testament. Jesus appointed 12 whom he named apostles so that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and cast out demons. And so, again, the first thing he did, he called them to himself to be with him. And he's calling you guys to be with him. And that as you guys spend time with him, you begin to overflow. And does that make sense? You begin to overflow. Your time with him just leads you to see from his perspective. You see this in Acts 4:13. You put that up there. And now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So Peter and John they didn't go to Fuller Seminary, they didn't go to Bible college, they just had been with Jesus. And as these leaders, these rulers over Israel, were rising up in an aggression to persecute them, they were shocked. They're like, these are just fishermen, you know? These are just dudes in high school, you know what I mean? But they'd recognize that they had been with Jesus. And you can go to that final one, 1 John 1, 3 through 4. That, and John's just writing to these believers. He's saying, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So, and these things we're writing so that your joy may be complete. So he's saying, it's not, we've not just received concepts. We've not just received doctrines that were handed down to us. We have had an encounter with a man named Jesus Christ. And out of that place, out of the place of knowing him, out of, they saw him. They handled Jesus Christ. And from that place, they're saying, man, like, as satisfied as we are in knowing Jesus Christ, like, our joy is not even going to be complete until you know him. It's like the, you know, you watch the new Star Wars trailer, and you're like, I've got to Facebook post this thing, you know, like, I've got to tell people about it. Or, you know, your new shoes, you got to Instagram it and like, check them out. You know what I mean? You got to get it out. And so that's how it is. It's very natural. It's supposed to be out of the overflow of your own intimacy with Jesus. So that's the first point. We are to know him and make him known. The second point, the love of Christ compels us. If you want to go to 2 Corinthians, it'll be on the screen though. 5:13. It says, "For if we are beside ourselves, literally, if we're crazy, it's for God, and if we're in our right mind, it's for you." For the love of Christ compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. You can stop right there. I think a lot of times I know in my past, like, I've tried to stir up love for Jesus, you know what I mean? Like, stir up my love for people I don't like, stir up my love for that turd at high school that I just can't stand. And that's not even how it works. The Bible is very clear that the love of Christ is what compels us. It's not our love for Jesus. It's not our love for other people. It's the love of Christ that compels us. So when we encounter who he is, it's, you know, in the Greek, it literally means to constrain you or put you into a strait where it just propels you right out, because you've encountered what he's done for you. You know, that we were separated from him, and that through his blood, he's reconciled us to himself. So his love compels us. The third point, I just want to rush through this because I know I preach forever. So we are both ambassadors for Christ and ministers of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it goes on to say, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And that is that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. And so we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so what you see is that as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, they're preaching the message of reconciliation. So you guys with me? Okay, cool. The message of reconciliation speaks of, and I know, man, like, you're in high school, and I know, like, I was very ADD in high school, so just confessing that, but So I'm really trying to like track with you guys, because if you don't get this, there's no point in me even being up here. So Jesus help me. But as ministers of reconciliation, that speaks of what we have to say. That speaks of our word. That means that as we go about the city or through our schools or in our homes or with your friends who don't know Jesus, that you ask the Lord for boldness and you begin to open your mouth and you begin to represent Jesus Christ and confess the message of the blood of Christ, the cross, that through Jesus Christ they can have access to God, that their sins can be forgiven, that they can be with God. And then as ambassadors we're representing Christ. It speaks of our deeds. And so I think a lot of times when we talk about evangelism, we often can reduce it to just what we have to say to people. You know what I mean? It's what you say, but Jesus, it's like he didn't just come to talk about the Father. He came to demonstrate and show the Father. And he didn't just come to talk about the kingdom. He came to demonstrate what the kingdom of heaven is like. And that's what our friends need to see. I mean, they need to see what it looks like to know God. They need to know what it looks like to be righteous and be pure and be holy, so that they can see something different in us. And then the fourth one, it's not our responsibility to have the answers to everyone's questions, but to lead them to the one who does. I think that one of the biggest fears we have, and I've had when I think of like making disciples, is like, I'm not perfect, first of all. Like, and there's this weird kind of pressure where it's like, when you start discipling people, you kind of feel like you got to be their rabbi. You know what I mean? Like, you have to be Jesus for them. But Paul, you know, he's like, you know, no, just follow me as I follow Christ. You know, because you're going to see me mess up. You know, the girls that you girls disciple, the guys that you guys disciple at your school, they're going to see you mess up. But they also need to see you repent. You know what I mean? And like my son, like, I'm not perfect. And he sees me lash out. Like, I never realized how much anger I had until I got a kid. And it's kind of scary. And you guys will figure that out one day. But maybe if you have a dog, you know what I mean? It's scary. Like, the Lord starts revealing stuff in you that you didn't know was there. And I'd realized I had a lot of anger in me. And there's just something about a little kid that just kind of does this all day long. And you're like, you know, you're about to just lose it. And slam my head on doorposts, all kinds of stuff. And my son sees me do stupid things. I've done horrible things. But you know what's awesome? Even in the midst of your failure with your friends who aren't Christians, even in the midst of failure, when you approach them and you say, hey, man, I cussed, I dropped an F-bomb, or whatever it is, listen, that is an opportunity for them to see what it's like to repent. You know what I mean? They need to know what it's like for you to humble yourself and to get low. And the second thing is you don't have to have all the answers to people's questions. So, like, I'm telling you right now, like, most of you guys are in your teens, right? There are people in their 30s and 40s that are still afraid of making disciples because they don't have the answers to everybody's questions. But let me tell you, you don't have to have all the answers. You should not have all the answers to people's questions. You just need to point them to Jesus Christ, who does. Like, how many times, like, when you're sharing the gospel, somebody just throws something out there like, I am so mad at God right now. Like, and they start cussing God out. I've been there. And you're just kind of standing back like, I don't even know what to say to this person right now. And I just pray, and I'm like, Holy Spirit, what do you have? And like, I don't feel anything. And then you're like feeling like an idiot because you feel like you're failing. And like, if they walk away, are they going to follow Christ? Are they going to not be in the kingdom of heaven because I couldn't present the gospel right? You know what I mean? You guys ever feel that? So I just want you to like let that weight be lifted off of you. You don't have to. And as a matter of fact, Jesus made the statement. He said, I'm going to send you out as sheep amidst wolves. And you're going to be persecuted for my name's sake. They're going to drag you before leaders and counselors for my name's sake. But in that day, don't worry about what to say or how to say it, because it's not going to be you speaking. It's going to be the Spirit of the Father in you that speaks through you. And so that's four principles that I just want to lay out there. And I didn't like want to ground myself in a text. I just really wanted to just, you know, the Lord has really just given me grace to have opportunities to share the gospel. And like when I was 11 years old, I just had this encounter with the Lord where it was, you know, you might call him crazy, but I had this vision and I felt somebody tap me on my shoulder, and I turned around and there was nobody there. And I'm like, that's weird. And then somebody tapped me on my shoulder again. I turn around, there's nobody there. And I'm like, that's really weird. So I'm standing there worshiping the Lord at church, and all of a sudden I have this vision. And long story short, I just heard the Lord say, go preach the gospel. It was powerful. And but, you know, like, it, me preaching the gospel, again, it's out of the overflow of knowing him. I didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to preach the gospel every day. You know what I mean? When you love Jesus, you can't help but tell about him. When you, what you love, you cannot hold back. You have to fight to hold it back because you know they're going to, you think they're going to hate it, and they could. But God just given me grace to be able to share the gospel with people. And so, well, we got 5 minutes left. Holy cow. If you can put up the part two, how to see an opportunity, just real practical. I just start off like being intentional. Be intentional. When you're in Guatemala, when I went to Nicaragua, you know you're on a mission trip. You know you're there to make disciples. And so, oh, I got 10 minutes? Okay, cool. What's that flash mean? Plenty of time. Right on. Awesome. Be intentional. Like, you know, like when you wake up in the morning, just say, Father, I thank you that through the blood of Jesus, I have access to you. And I pray that everywhere I go, that people would see the kingdom through my life, that Jesus, you're in me. It's not just that we're supposed to represent him like he's in heaven and hoping we're going to do a good job of representing. He lives inside of us. And as we go to Starbucks, as you go to school, as you go to Denny's, wherever, it doesn't matter. Like, people can encounter Jesus Christ. So have an intentional mindset. Be intentional. Like Jesus said, if you'll just look up, the harvest is already ripe. And one of the greatest tactics of the enemy is to keep you absorbed with yourself. He keeps us absorbed with our cell phones. He keeps us absorbed with our media, with our tripping over the stage, with video games, anything. The enemy's going to do anything he can to get your eyes on worthless things and keep you in that place for a lifetime. You know, David said, "Take my eyes from worthless things." And that's my cry, man, that like my eyes would be so fixed on Jesus every day that every day I wake up that I'd say, "Jesus, where are we going?" And I fail. We all fail. But every day, just get up and say, "Jesus, it's not just about going to school. I want to see you manifest your goodness and your gospel through me today." Number two, simply love the person right in front of you. I'm very analytical. And so I get up in my head and then start thinking about everything. And does anybody like that? Is anybody else like that? Very analytical. And like, my wife will be talking to me and I'll just be like, yeah, yeah. And I'm totally not listening to her. I'm totally thinking about tomorrow or thinking about the fact that I don't, you know, whatever. So I have ADD like that. I get distracted. But here's something that I heard somebody say. It's just simply love the person in front of you. So instead of this big pressure of like, who am I going to share the blood, the death, the resurrection of Jesus with? You know, it's like, that's a lot of pressure. Like if you're going into Starbucks, like who needs a guy? It's awkward. But here's what I found. And Jesus, it says he was moved with compassion. Like it was so natural for him. He didn't have to decide, am I going to cast a demon out of this guy? Am I going to heal this person's legs? He just was moved by compassion. He saw needs and he just enveloped it with his goodness and his glory. Does that make sense? So just simply loving the person right in front of you, not thinking about how you're going to change the world in 20 years, but just thinking about, start small. Like just change the life of the person right in front of you. It may mean just giving them a hug. It may mean just saying, hey, that's a really pretty dress. If you're a dude, don't tell a girl that. But unless, I don't know. I'll let Rob take care of that. But you never know what it means. Like I was at Walmart a couple weeks ago, and I want to share failure stories and success stories. But I was at Walmart, and here's the real truth. I was supposed to go home, but we have some friends living with us, and it was just kind of like they were kind of having a crappy attitude, and I just didn't want to be there. So, and my wife wasn't home yet. I'm just being real. So I wanted to go somewhere just to see what Jesus would do. So I went to Walmart, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, like who are we gonna talk to? And so I'm just walking around, and I'm not trying to be awkward. So I just go to the razors. I buy some razors. And then I'm like, Lord, where am I going to go? I have nothing to buy. It's like so awkward, but I had time. I'm like, oh, I need Starbucks coffee. So I went to go get a bag of coffee. So then I'm looking around. I'm just waiting. Is there somebody in wheelchairs or Jesus, what are you going to do? I'm just like ready, you know? That's what we're supposed to be, man. The hope of Christ lives on the inside of us. The Bible says that he is the hope of the nations. And man, he's inside of you. People need to know him. They're broken. And so I'm there, and I get to the checkout line because I'm like, I don't feel anything. I'm just kind of bummed out. Like, I didn't see anybody. So I'm standing right there, and there's this kid behind me, and he has a Mountain Dew, and he has a bag of Cheetos. And I just felt like I needed to buy his Mountain Dew and his Cheetos. So it was like $4, you know. But I'm like, hey, bro, let me buy your Mountain Dew and Cheetos. He's like, what are you doing, man? I'm like, just let me buy it for you, man. Jesus loves you, bro. And he's like, you just made my day, dude. Like, he was just blown away. And then the cashier lady's like, you just made my day. Like, they just, and I'm like, dude, for $3.96, I made two people's day. And you never know what kind of impact that's going to have in their life. And so I'm telling you guys, like, when you wake up with this reality of saying, Jesus, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, dude, boring things become very exciting. You can be going to a wedding, or that's kind of exciting if you're married, because it kind of gets your wife all stirred up. But anyways, I'm sorry. So sorry. I'm going to lose my job. But boring things become exciting when you're living for the kingdom, because you're like, you know what? We're not meant, just like it says in 2 Corinthians 5, Jesus was crucified for us. He died for us so that we would no longer live for ourselves. Our culture is all about, it's all about you. That's what they say. It's about you. It's about you being happy. You deserve to be happy. Let me tell you, it is all about Jesus. It's all about him being happy. It's all about him getting the glory. And everywhere you go, you can see Jesus manifest his goodness. So here I, what, how much time I got? Sorry. Man, Jesus. Simply love the person in front of you. Number three, just listen to people. Again, I have a problem with that. So, when you're engaged with a non-believer in conversation, don't be thinking about what you're going to tell them. Should I go through the Romans road? You know, should I lay down John 3:16? Just listen to them, because like so many times when people just open up, they're going to get into their brokenness. They're going to get into like, well, I was molested at this age and blah, 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 blah happened. And before they know it, you know what? They're pouring their heart out to you and you're just listening to them. And I've found so many times when you just listen to people's brokenness, it is so easy to say, you need Jesus. And they start crying and you're just like, I didn't even do anything. I just listened to them. You just listen to them. And so many times as you just listen, you'll pick up on like, oh, I know where I'm going to go after they're done, but just listen completely to what they're saying and watch the Lord speak to you. Number four, look, am I good on time still? I want to respect you guys. Look to meet physical needs. Like I said, you know, Cheetos, Mountain Dew, no big deal, but you never know what kind of impact that can make in people's life. You know, again, we're a lot of times, and I say platforms down there, but you can kind of tie it into the look to meet physical needs. What I mean by platforms is if you see somebody like limping around with a cane, maybe go pray for them. You know what I mean? We're not only sent to make disciples, but Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you, which means Jesus is our model for discipleship. He healed the sick a lot. And he wasn't ashamed of it. He cast out demons all the time like it wasn't going out of style ever. And I'm not saying you're going to run into demons, but you could. You know what I mean? And when you run into sick people, even if God doesn't heal them, you know what I've found? They love that you're just loving on them. Like people that are in wheelchairs, people that are hurt, people that are dying, when you just take the time to say, can I just pray for you? And just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that you bring healing into their bodies. Even if God doesn't do anything, they've been loved. And I felt like a failure so many times when I pray for the sick and they're not healed. And I'm like waiting for them to get out of their wheelchair. And they're just kind of looking at me like, okay, thanks. You know, and they kind of roll away and I'm feeling really awkward. But here's the thing. They felt loved. And so it's all about loving people. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. So it doesn't matter if you pray for 200 people and none of them get healed. If you love them, you never failed once. We don't have the power to heal the sick. Jesus does, right? But he lives in us. And so who knows? There was one time I was, it was crazy. This is kind of lame, but I have curly hair and it was really long. So I used to straighten it. And I know that's really lame, but, when I had a son, I'm like, I got to stop straightening my hair. Cause that is, my son is going to, you don't want your son thinking straighteners for a man and a woman. That's just not cool. Well, I was straightening my hair, and I was like a part of this prayer meeting on Saturday morning, and I know, and I just heard the Holy Spirit just say, somebody with a red shirt's going to be healed today. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, you know. So, and I'm thinking, did I think that? Because you always wonder, like, was that really God? Am I just crazy? And so I got there, and after we prayed, I just said, hey, is there anybody here that needs physical healing? The only person that raised their hand was the dude in the red shirt. He's like, I need prayer. I'm like, dude, Jesus told me this morning that you're going to be healed. So, like, I had such an overabundant boldness and confidence that Jesus was going to heal him. He did, like, right there on the spot. I laid my hands on his arm. He had his wrist was all jacked up from skating. Jesus healed his arm right there. And, when you see signs like that, don't just say, I love you, God bless. Like, tell them, Jesus just did that for you. You know what I mean? I'm saying if you run into that. Because if you don't, those things are signs. And this might mess with your theology. And I don't really apologize about that. We need to be biblical, not traditional. Again, I'm probably going to get kicked out. Okay, I'm just, you know what, we need to be biblical. We need to say Jesus is the standard. And no matter what anybody says, if you can't back it up in Scripture, don't buy it. Don't buy it. So it's a sign. Like Jesus said, preach the gospel. Those who believe, these signs will follow those who believe, right? One of those signs is casting out demons. One of the signs is speaking in tongues. One of the signs is healing the sick. And it's if you don't tell them about Jesus after you pay for that Mountain Dew, if you don't tell them about Jesus after you just love them, then it's a sign pointing nowhere. And they're kind of like, that guy was nice, that girl was nice, but they don't know the hope that's in you. So just say, man, Jesus loves you. He did that for you. And even if he didn't, Jesus loves you, you know? Okay, let's move on. Okay, ask the Father if there's anyone around you who needs prayer, a word of encouragement, and listen for an answer. I could go with failure stories here. I remember I was just, it was like a month and a half ago. I was at a Starbucks, and I just was paying for my Americano. And I was like, Father, is there anybody here who needs just a word of encouragement from you? And I look around, and it was like, imagine it was Happy. And I just looked at Happy, and immediately the word agnostic just struck my mind. And I'm like, I was not ever thinking about agnosticism that day. Like, agnostic means you don't know. You know, if there's a God, I'm not really sure. I'm not quite atheist. I might be mad at God about stuff that happened, you know. But I got the word agnostic. And so I'm like, okay, I don't even know what to do with that. And I felt like the Lord was like, you need to go talk to him. And I'm like, that's really embarrassing. And he's like, I don't care, you know, because it's not about us, right? And witnessing will humiliate you. We'll get there. So I go up to this guy. I'm like, hey, bro, what's your name, man? He's like, It was Logan. And I'm like, man, I'm Jordan. And I just got right to him. I'm like, are you agnostic? He's like, yes. I'm like, and I don't know what else to say to him. Like, that's all I felt like I needed to do is go say, okay, cool. Well, so I just paused. And I just was like, well, man, like, Jesus loves you, bro. And I didn't know that about you. I don't read your mail. I don't have your Facebook. But Jesus knows you, and he loves you, and he's pursuing you. You know, and that made a difference in his life, I'm sure. So just look around for opportunities and nudges from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you don't even have a word or anything. You're drawn to somebody. I remember Manny saying one time he was driving in, I think, Cocoa Beach, and he just saw a homeless guy, and he didn't feel like he needed to do anything specifically, but he just knew, I got to go to that homeless guy. And sometimes the Lord will do that. He won't give you anything. You don't know anything except you feel a nudge to approach somebody, and that's all you have. And it's only when you step out in obedience, you go, hey, what's up? How are you doing? Then, like, all of a sudden, the fear kind of falls right off of you. And you know, you might not get anything necessarily, but you just give them love. Give them Christ. Just love them. And nudges from the Holy Spirit. And last, just simple, mere obedience to God's word. We don't ever need a word from the Holy Spirit to share the gospel. Jesus has already said, all authority has been given to me. Go and preach the gospel, right? Go and make disciples. You don't even ever need to ask the Father if I need to make a disciple. Yes, it's always yes. And so that's a mere obedience to God's written word. So in closing, I just wanted to give a couple words of encouragement. It's better to do it afraid than not at all. Like, I have failed so many times. Like, I'm sure has anybody ever failed at sharing the gospel with people? Like, who in this room, I don't know if I want to put you in the spot. Who deals with fear? Like, who gets overwhelmed with fear? I'm sure it's most of us that aren't raising our hand are really afraid to raise our hand right now. We all deal with fear. The enemy brings fear, but perfect love casts out fear. But let me tell you, like, I heard a story. Am I still good on time? 1 minute. This guy, he's an evangelist today, but the way he kind of got converted to Christ, he was sitting on the beach drinking beer with his buddies, and this, like, nerdy little, like, kid comes up and shares the gospel with him. And while this kid's sharing the gospel, he's just shaking, and watching him, he's like, this guy's pathetic. He's pathetic. And he's just nervous sharing the gospel, shaking, and he gets done sharing the gospel and kind of walks away, and they're all kind of like, all right, that was weird. Well, moments later, the Holy Spirit just convicted one of his friends, and he started weeping just under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not about it's not about your approach. It's if you will declare the word of God, the Spirit of God will do his work. All you have to do is open your mouth and do his. It doesn't matter if you're afraid. God can use you. And I found a lot of times, like, when you just step out in fear, the moment you share the gospel, in the midst of all the humiliation and fear, all of a sudden the peace of God comes over you and you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. You guys witnessed that before? Words of encouragement. After you step out the first time, and finally, you know, you're going to be rejected, but love anyways. I found that when you're rejected, it just humiliates you, and it brings you to a place where it's like Jesus came to be a servant. It is not about me. It's not about you. It's not about our reputations. We could lose careers for this, but listen, Jesus loves you so much, but you are his vessels, and he loves the world as well. And he's chosen to use his church, us, to impact the world for Jesus Christ, to bring them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. So he's willing to make us look like an idiot if it means bringing other people into the light. Does that make sense? So it really will humiliate you, but that's a good thing. It's a good thing. So that's it. I just want to say, so often in the church, especially in America, it just seems like we're taking the defense right now. We're kind of in the defense of, like, all the abortions in America. Got to protect our families from that and get the government to, fix that, and homosexuality. Got to get the politics all corrected. And we're just so defensive. We're so scared and we're so afraid. But Jesus made this statement. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That we're actually supposed to take the offensive. We're not supposed to be in the defensive where we're constantly just kind of like, this is what we're against. We're against this and this and this, but we're not doing anything. And Jesus has sent us out to invade the kingdom of darkness, and that people in your family, in even in your church, but all over the place, can encounter the love of Jesus Christ everywhere you go. So that's it. Let's just close in prayer. I just want to, if there's anybody in here that's struggling with fear, And you want the boldness of Jesus Christ, if you could just stand up, I just want to pray for you guys. And just if you just feel like, I just want more of Christ, and I just want to be filled up. I just want to be filled up with Jesus. If you could just come up and I just want to pray for you guys. Okay. Well, Father, we just all need you. We need more of you. And I just ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would give us boldness, God, that Jesus, you never sent your disciples out until they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we, just like Titus was preaching a couple months ago, that the lie of the enemy is that anybody can make disciples. And that's a lie. The reality is anybody can make disciples in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we need you. And we ask that you'd fill us. And we ask that you give us boldness. We ask that we be filled with the love of Jesus Christ, that as we go out from this place, we wouldn't just hold the gospel within these four walls and within our family and just to ourselves, but Father, that we would every single day lift up our eyes and see a harvest that is ripe. And God, that you would give us your heart, that we'd love what you love and hate what you hate. And that you'd be lifted up in this city, in this county, in this nation, through simple disciples who say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.